You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Hey, hi, how are you? I'm Jamie Flam, and I'm the artistic director of the Hollywood Improv. Basically, that means I'm the one responsible for booking comedians, producing shows, and making sure every night at the club is magical. You might even call me the gatekeeper. Okay, so not really, but maybe, I don't know. Outside of my job at the Improv, I also perform and write comedy, which means I sit in front of many gatekeepers myself. It's an interesting dynamic, but it's helped me learn a lot as well. Now I host a podcast about it. Each week I talk with bookers, producers, decision makers, performers, and more.
Hey, this is Cole Stratton.
This is Janet Varney.
This is Troy Conrad.
This is Todd Glass, and you're listening to Gatekeeper.
It's an inside look at the art of saying yes and no. Also, there are sound effects. Be sure to subscribe to Gatekeeper on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can find more info at sideshownetwork.tv.
Hello and welcome to a spooky episode of Worst Collection Ever, presented by the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I am very scary, Jen.
Damn it. I don't know. I can't think. I gotta think of a thing. I'm spooky, Sean.
There you go. And this is our Halloween episode. Woo!
I didn't have a Halloween nickname.
You know what? I just thought of it at the very last minute because I was like, "Oh, the Simpsons do it. Let's do it."
I know. I was thinking, I was like, "Shit! I can't think of anything as good as the Simpsons."
I know. I like
slaughtered Sean Merrick.
Yeah. Like, see, my problem is like I'm like I could only be like jellyfish or jelly blob or Jezebel or
Jezebel. No, you would be Jolted Jen.
Jolted Jen. Yeah, I need
that. That'd be like, you'd also be your Garbage Pail Kid.
Jolted Jen. Jolted. It's just me being electrocuted.
You being electrocuted on Halloween.
Yeah, spooky. Best holiday. Favorite holiday. The only holiday that matters. So, yeah, this is our Halloween episode because Halloween is next week, Monday, and so our episode comes out on Tuesday, and we'd be too late.
Yeah, so we'd be very lame. We could have did it like everybody else does it, where they do
the whole month,
of Halloween
maybe
stuff.
Maybe next
and
year.
Which maybe next year we'd do. I mean,
I feel like we have enough to do it, maybe.
We have enough stuff that we can work with.
We have to look. We're not going to do a full month of Christmas, are we?
No.
Good.
No, we're doing...
No.
We already know what we're doing for Christmas.
Yay.
We already have that taken care of, so... You all just gonna have to deal with it. We have some stuff that's I haven't even read it yet, and I'm not even really looking forward to it. What? But at the same time, it's appropriate.
The problem is Christmas always tries to be so like upbeat, like teach you like lessons about like goodness and family.
I don't know. I think what we got this year isn't. There's no lessons.
Good.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I don't remember, but I don't want any lessons. That's why I like Halloween so much. Things are just spooky, and that's how it is.
Yes.
Spooky and scary.
Yep. Yeah, that's going to be the deal. It's going to be a nice spooky time for everybody.
Yay.
And our comic book collection is no different.
No.
Our comic book collection is straight up horrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a goddamn horror show in here.
It's straight up it's scarily embarrassing.
I think everything we do is scarily embarrassing at this point.
Pretty much.
Hey, mid-30-year-olds, what are you doing with your time? Reading comic books? Okay.
Hey there, people with grad degrees.
Actual grown-ass people with grad degrees
that moved across the country.
you know there's people out there, like, younger than you that have, like, children and own homes, right?
That's a real nightmare.
What, the kid part? Kids are fine.
Well, kids are fine, but the fact that these millennials own homes. What the hell am I talking about?
I don't know.
Millennials owning homes.
Millennials are
like they're owning condos if you have a Nintendo Switch.
That's right. Everybody's playing fucking Nintendo Switch on their goddamn rooftops. Well, probably like just trying to see from the extreme glare of the sun.
Oh, I would be pissed. I would be like, this sucks.
You'd be like, I can't see it. Why don't we just go
this
inside?
This sucks. And why are we all sitting here? And like, I would just be eating the potato salad.
You know what they should have had in that ad? If you haven't seen the Nintendo Switch commercial, you should see it. But they should have had like everybody clustered around the Nintendo Switch and then a lone guy in the background. Just not giving a fuck, eating all the food.
Yeah, just that'd be me.
Yeah.
That'd be me eating like, hey, look, they got sides.
I'll take it while they're distracted.
I would just be like, I had to have like two hot dogs on a plate. Just sitting in the background going, ha, and just shoving it in my mouth. Full of food. And then, you know, these people are playing like Super Mario Ass or whatever.
I'd play Super Mario Ass.
Yeah, well, that's coming. It's coming for Switch. Which I'm not going to get a Switch. I'm sticking with the PS4 until they get a PS5. I'm sorry.
I still want that other thing. Not the Switch. What the fuck is it? That one that comes preloaded with all those games.
Oh, the classic. Yeah, no, we'll get that. We'll get that. I seriously think I'd rather just have, to be honest, we'll get that.
Yeah.
And I also want the Sega Genesis one.
Okay.
But I also want a Retron. I've wanted a Retron for a long time.
Yeah.
Because that's something where you could just get your games, like all these different kinds of games, and play those.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, tack it in. It's like, you know, I mean, I don't think it's that good, but at the same time, fuck it. I want to play. You know, I'm an older man, you know, and I think, and now I'm at the phase of my life where it's time to start playing retro games and playing the games I want because I couldn't have them when I was younger.
Well, that's true.
You know, I got to start living my life before this dream is over.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, we're all going to die.
Make America Nintendo retro again.
Sure. Sure.
I'm an idiot.
I suppose we should like do a comic book podcast now. Spooky, woo, whoa, scary. All right.
Well, I'm looking at pumpkins, so.
That's true. That's how I decorate. I put literally three tiny pumpkins in a corner.
We have a thing on our...
Oh, yeah,
wall.
No, I put
it says Happy Halloween.
It did. It says Happy Halloween, and I have a towel that has a pumpkin on it, and that's it.
Good job.
I don't go in for decorating. I really don't.
No.
I know a lot of people do. I am not. I think maybe if we had a house, it'd be different, because I'd want to decorate our front yard, make it look like a cemetery, and hopefully scare the shit out of children. But since we live in an apartment, meh.
Yeah, no, I would be creative. I would have, like, superhero, dead superheroes and stuff.
Oh, that'd be sweet. We could do zombie superheroes.
Oh, I would do. I would have like gravestones. I would have.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
It would be very inside baseball kind of thing, and people would be like, "Oh, I get that." You know, I would do my best.
Would
to...
you look at the Marvel Book of the Dead and like put all like
I might even
want to
recreate it? You know,
that'd be
kind of
fun.
Yeah, because like those book covers and stuff, I'd have like Captain Marvel and shit.
Yeah.
Red Skull, he's on one of those, so
that'd be really fun.
Yeah, because
then you could just like have like a bunch of heroes that died like a long time ago that nobody ever heard of, and then there would be like one 49-year-old dude who's like taking his kids around being like, dude, I get it.
49-year-old man approves of yard. Well, speaking of 49 years old, I don't know. I was gonna think of some joke with this book we're telling here, but whatever.
Yeah, okay.
I'm full of half-assed things today.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our book. Let's talk about our DC book first. It is Tales of the Teen Titans, number 71 from November 1986. Ooh, spooky.
What a spooky year.
Spooky year. Reaganomics. I'm trying to think of what was scary in 1986.
Oh, I don't know. A lot of things. I was young.
Maximum Overdrive. That was a movie. Stephen King's directorial debut. Ooh.
Spooky.
Okay, so it's Tales of the Teen Titans number 71 from November 1986. On the cover, it says Ghost Story. And we have looks to be a decaying girl. ghost girl.
Yeah. She's just, there's a little girl in a dress, and then Dick is, as Nightwing, perched on a
gravestone.
It's supposed to be a gravestone, but there's no name on it.
It's facing the other way.
Oh, okay. So he's like perched on it, and then what's Corey doing?
I don't know, because in the back, there's like these two shrouded like figures that are floating,
and that has nothing to do with the story.
It has nothing to do with the story, but like Starfire is like going towards them,
looks like she's trying to like keep them away.
Trying to keep them away, and then in the foreground, there's a hand with a gun on it.
Pointing
at this girl, and the girl's pointing at the person holding the gun. And actually, I just noticed something: the hand with the gun
has nailed
fingernails.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah, it's a woman's hand.
Could be,
or just a guy who likes to paint his fingernails.
Yeah,
could be.
So we start off with this book with just straight up Beefcake.
Yeah,
Dick coming out of the shower, hanging out in a towel.
That's right.
He's having a bad day, apparently. Apparently, him and she's been holding back on like just talking to him. He feels she's not being honest with him, you know, and talking about emotions or whatever.
Oh, you mean Corey?
Corey.
Yeah.
He's talking about Corey. He's like, she's getting a volcano ready to blow.
Yeah, he's worried about it. And then
he's so wet coming out of the shower.
I know. He's just, he didn't even like attempt to dry off. I think
he literally
looks like he's all soap on him, to be honest, like up there, like.
Yeah, I know. He's got soap and like he's walking out of the shower and like he's stamping on his bath mat, but like it looks like his tub is like overflowing.
Yeah, he's just making a mess. Cuz Alfred cleaned up after him and he is irresponsible and horrible. And I'm sure that mat is moldy and disgusting. So as he's like, you know, nude or whatever, he hears somebody in his living room. And it's a little girl jumping rope and she's singing like a little rhyme.
Yeah, like a Freddy Krueger nursery rhyme.
Yeah, and she's like, what does she say? Like,
she says, D is your name, Dickie, and your dad. D is your D. Your name is Dickie, and your daddy's name is Brucey, and you're really known as Nightwing.
And he's like, oh my god, she knows who I am!
He's not just like, what the fuck, there's a girl in my room.
He's like, my dad's technically not... Bruce. My biological father is not
Brucey.
Brucey
Wayne!
Brucey Wayne.
Oh man, Brucey Wayne.
Good old Brucey. What a fun, Brucey. Fun guy. Life of the party, that Brucey.
I wish. I really wish that there was a Batman series called Brucey and Dickie.
Well, it's about when they were small. And so he, like, in his towel, he, like, runs after this child. Instead of being like, why the fuck is there a child in my apartment who seems to know who I am?
Yeah.
And so she runs out into the hallway, and then she disappears. And he's only in his towel, and he's, like, having a fit. Locks himself out of his apartment in his towel. And, of course, he just starts screaming.
Well, I think what happens is he goes to try to go back inside.
And the door's locked.
No, the door slams shut on him.
Oh.
And okay. So he's out in the hallway pounding on the door like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, and he's all naked, so all of his neighbors come to look.
Yeah.
Which, that doesn't happen. Your neighbors don't ever look.
Yeah, no.
They might look at the people, but no one's opening their door to see what's going on.
If somebody's pounding on their door, yeah, you know what? I'll be honest. Like, I'm not looking. I mean, 9 times out of 10, I'm not looking outside.
No, I'll look out the window, and I'll look out, like, the peephole, but I'm not opening my door.
No, but it's funny because, like, you know, his neighbors. It's funny because, like, one neighbor is just like, some guy's like, hey, look at this guy.
That woman's just like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because she's getting to check out some of his ass.
Not only that, he, like, falls to his knees in front of his door and he's like, oh, this is the worst day, but you can see his ass crack.
And then there's Hulk Hogan, it looks like.
Hulk Hogan?
Or whoever. I'm trying to think, like.
That doesn't look like Hulk Hogan. That does look like a wrestler, though.
Looks like a jobber.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, so they're all, he's all out here, and so then we go to,
wherever Cyborg is.
Cyborg is running through the streets.
And he's also having a bad day.
He's having a bad, like, well, he's chasing
Yeah, he's chasing somebody, but he's also thinking about having a bad day, and he's probably thinking that his costume is horrible.
Oh yeah, the original cyborg getup is just I can't stand it.
It's awful.
He looks just like a bunch of garbage thrown together.
That's really what he does. It's just so bad. So he's like running around because he heard something.
He heard gunshots.
Oh, that's right. And he's like, oh, man.
So is he just, like, running through the roofs? Like, is like just running around? Because I understand, like, I think, like, the Teen Titans building isn't, like, being built right now.
Yeah, it's been destroyed. So
he's just having, a metal run?
Well, maybe he was going to Starbucks and he heard some gunshots and decided to check it out.
Yeah, so he hears gunshots. And then he just randomly, like, jumps, finds out where it is, apparently, jumps into this building.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees a bunch of thugs. He sees some guy dead over by a desk. A bunch of thugs start shooting at him.
Right.
And which I find actually, so here's my question about, I don't quite understand about the cyborg. So he's, you know, I'm assuming the armored part of his body is indestructible. But just the armored parts. Like, you can't shoot him, and you can shoot him in, like, the part of his face that's exposed, or the top of his head. Or, you know, his chest, where it's exposed. I mean, is that, and that's just like, if you shoot him there, like, is that not reinforced?
You know,
like, he's not like Luke Cage, you know, skin,
no,
is he?
No, I don't, you know, that's a really good question, because I actually don't know how it works. I mean, I'm assuming, like, it's different now, because he's a lot more armored.
Yeah.
He's a lot more robot, but back then, it just kind of looked like he was wearing a tank top.
Yeah, he's just wearing like a singlet.
So, if you shot him, like, you know, where you can see his skin in the middle of his chest, would he die?
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking that because the part where these guys start shooting him, and it's just like clang, clang, bang, you know, and he's just like, whatever.
Right. So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how that works, because I assume that it's just like regular meat flesh.
Yeah.
And then robot.
So he stops this thing, but so he also sees this girl as well, apparently. This girl's like, your name is Victor, and your daddy's name is Silas, and you're also known as Cyborg. You know, she's doing, you know.
She's doing the thing, but this is what's weird, is she just shows up in, like, a random building.
She shows up in a random building, and then she runs off, and then everybody goes to chase after her, and she disappears.
Yeah.
And so the, you know, police come, and they help out. Cyborg get the thing.
But Cyborg seems like, because the cops are like, man, thanks a lot, Cyborg. He's like,
yeah. They're really into him helping out.
Yeah, but he's
this
just
is New York,
like,
City, by the way.
And he's like, whatever. Like, would you read him? He's like, they're not like, you know, because apparently there's some politician who doesn't like them or something. And so he's just like making all these comments like, yeah. And they're like, don't pay attention to her. We like having you guys around.
Yeah. Yeah, he's having a... I do like here, though, when he goes to the police office, police, whatever. Who is this? Rossetti? Captain. He's talking to the captain.
Yes.
And the captain's, like, explaining. He's like, yeah. He was... So the guy that got killed was supposed to...
He was supposed to testify.
Testify on this murder.
Yeah.
That... that some murder he committed,
like a long time ago, because, you know, he was old anyway.
He was dying,
so he was going to turn some state's evidence and like try to take down basically what's like some sort of crime family.
Yeah,
but now he's dead.
So I do like this here where Cyborg is sitting on this guy, like at this guy's desk, like cool teacher style.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. He's like, come on, kid.
Which
let's,
also
let's
too.
Rap
why
about
is
knowledge.
His? Why is his? Why is this desk just not shredded under his giant metal weight?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because does Cyborg weigh, like, you know, 700 pounds or something? Because that's a lot of metal.
He's just flopping on this guy's desk. Like, he's making a phone call sitting on the desk.
Yeah, that was wild. So he's like...
Another one. The superhero's making phone calls.
Yeah. Well, see, what happens is, you know, he's talking about this case, and he's like, here... You know, here's the file or some information on it. And he looks, he's like, wait, I know this address. This is the address of Dick Grayson's apartment
where this murder apparently
occurred.
Yeah.
And he's like, can I use your phone? And this is before, like, Star 6ix9ine and all that sort of stuff. So he's not worried about the fact that he's placing a phone call from police headquarters to Nightwing's apartment.
Yeah, but that way he doesn't have caller ID.
Well, nobody did back then, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, so it's fine. It's the 80s.
That's what I mean. This is like, if you wrote this today, you could this. Spooky phone calls.
Spooky desk sitting.
Spooky desk sitting.
Reinforced desks. Ooh.
So he calls him and he like leaves him a message or whatever. And then he calls this guy.
He calls Jericho.
Oh, he calls Jericho.
This is so Jericho.
Because the Teen Titans building was destroyed, there's a little blurb about
right,
it.
Right, the building is destroyed. It looks like it's being built. So Jericho is living with his mom.
Yeah.
Jericho, who apparently constantly dresses in his outfit.
Yeah, he's always dressed like a knight. I guess
he's got the weird. I mean, I've never liked.
I don't. Really,
I didn't know. I growing up,
nothing about Jericho.
He's Slade's son.
Okay.
He's Slade's.
He's a wrestler, right?
No.
In the joke.
Oh. You know what? Chris Jericho should go as Jericho someday.
Is he wearing a scarf? Is this guy wearing
he
a lot
kinda
of scarves?
He kind of has a tunic-y. He's kind of got some scarfy tunic-y things.
Is he trying to cool dad it all over the fucking place?
He's got some sweet-ass sideburns.
Yes, he does.
So he's Slade Wilson's son.
Okay.
His throat was cut when he was younger.
Right, so he
so he's a mute.
Yeah, so he's a mute.
He's a mute, but his power is that he can basically, like, look you in the eyes, or he can, like, basically do, like, control you.
Okay.
He has, like, a puppet control, like a psychic puppet control thing of humans. And
okay.
He's, you know, he's been a part of the Titans lore forever. I've never read anything with Jericho in it that I've ever felt was good or like, wow. He was like, wow, this guy's totally necessary, even though he's got Harley Race sideburns.
Yeah, he to me looks like a knight.
He actually, his hair is 100% Harley Race from 1987, 86. Yeah. So he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he plays, like, so Vic calls him and he can hear. So he's like, hey, I need to, he calls him for Corey's number.
Right.
And Corey, and he gives him Corey's number through his speak and say he has.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
And then, so he's like, hey, thanks, man. And then he hangs up the phone, and then his mom's like, everything
that's
okay?
That's not his mom. That's Cole.
Oh. Can it just be his mom?
No, that's a girl who also is apparently living with the Jericho's mom, because the Teen Titans building is not...
They've got nowhere to go.
Who's also dressed in her working outfit.
Well, maybe all their clothes were destroyed when the thing fell down.
I don't know.
Ew.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Please don't bite that. Cats, again. So,
So he calls Jericho. So Jericho calls, Vic calls Dick. Corey at Dick's place.
Yeah.
Or calls Dick at Corey's place.
Yeah.
To Corey's all, like, modeling, and he's like,
we don't have time. We gotta go, like, a movie or something.
They're going to see a play. They're going to see Hamilton.
But... You know, Dick talks to Cyborg. He's like, cool, we'll see you tomorrow then.
A lot of phone calls.
They make a decision to meet. But then we cut to, and I don't understand this because I don't think it ever comes back.
Not at least this issue, it doesn't.
We cut to a rainy night in Alabama and shadowy figures talking.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on
here. And I'm like, okay, it doesn't have, and then that's it. There's just two panels and
that's
then we go back.
It's a thing.
Now we're outside Dick's apartment, but everybody's in their superhero gear. It's the next night or next day, and Wonder Girl is there, or I'm sorry, Donna Troy is there. Was she Wonder Girl at this time?
You call Wonder Girl,
yeah, okay, because I know there's also a blonde one.
It's Donna Troy. Yeah, it's the 80s, so we know it's Donna Troy.
Donna Troy.
So that and Beast Boy's here, and they're all like, "Let's go inside and talk to one of my neighbors." And then I go and talk to one of their neighbors, some Russian woman.
It's some old,
Sophia.
Like, Russian lady who used to live here, and she calls Corey a slut.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of. She's like, oh.
She's dropping shade.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm so glad to see all of you. You all work so hard, but your outfit's a little questionable, but if I had your body, maybe.
You know how
you
that
whore.
Is.
So then they start talking to this woman, and she starts telling him a story about what happened in the apartment across the hall.
So spooky. They had tea.
She lived there forever. And she was like a ballerina or a dancer of some sort.
She was a really good dancer. And then she lived across the hall from the family of the Cannons.
Which was a mom, a dad, and a kid.
A kid.
And I do believe the mother's name is Martha, if I am...
Ooh, I think you're right.
No. It's a Martha, guys. Oh. We know what's going to happen to her.
There's a mother, and its name is Martha.
And she's going to die, because her name is Martha.
She lives a long life.
If you want anybody in the DC universe,
Martha Martin and Cynthia as a daughter.
Yeah, if you want anybody in the DC universe to survive and they have a child and they're a mother, don't name them Martha.
Save Martha.
Why'd you say that name? All of a sudden, Batman appears.
What if Batman hears us? Why'd you say that name?
Oh my god! What if Batman just ran in here and just started punching that Russian woman in the face? Be like, why'd you say that name?
I would love that. That's
be like, that was my neighbor's name.
I would love it if they're just like, what'd you say? Dick's just like, Jesus Christ, Bruce. Why you got a mother? I left.
Martha's a very common name, Bruce.
It could be another name. Why are you here? Why are you here?
It's not like your mother's name is Beyonce. Like, come
why'd
on.
Why'd you say the name? I'm in the Beehive. Don't say what you said that name.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Batman joins the Beehive. Bayman.
Oh, that's funny. He becomes Bayman.
Bayman! Look, I'm telling you guys. Look, if there's any cosplayers out there that are coming to
please do Bayman.
Find a way to do Bayman. Do it tastefully. But
oh god, I wish I could do Bayman. That'd be so much fun.
You could do Bayman.
I don't even know how do you put that together.
You just dress as Batman, but then like wear Beyonce hair.
I'm trying to think like,
and then just be like, you're not ready for this jelly or Batman.
You don't wear pants either.
No, you can't wear
pants.
I don't
think you're ready for this justice.
I don't think you're ready. No. Oh man, Bayman, you're not ready for this justice.
Too bootylicious for you.
We're gonna make.
I'm gonna figure out how to do Bayman.
Fuck. That's actually a great. That's a good idea right there.
That's brilliant right there.
Bayman should be. Bayman's out of control.
Oh yeah.
Anyways,
he is.
Anyway, so this family basically is like, you know, we get to like wait. This is going on way too long.
It really does.
So there's a lot of shit in here where they're like, "Is this okay?" Let me just say this real quick. This is a very drawn out story.
Oh yeah.
That is just. Not a goddamn thing happens.
No, because and here's what happens a lot with when they flash back to what's going on with this family. They redo it like three or four times, and then they only add like one or two panels
of information.
And I'm like, but why? Yeah. Why? So they're like, oh, and so I saw them, and
so you saw them, and they basically
stopped by to give them stuff, and then I went into my apartment. Okay, cool.
Yeah, because they invited him, and they're like, oh, we got to go, and we're going to go to the lake and whatever, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
And so then Jericho's like... I don't understand what the fuck this part's for, because, like, Jericho, like, sees the picture, and he's like, oh, there's
He points at the picture, and he's like,
and
yeah.
And it has that little girl on it that Cyborg and Nightwing saw.
Right, so they recognize, they're like, hey, I know that girl, but she would be like 50 or 60 today if she was alive.
Yeah, and then Jericho's like, oh, old lady, maybe we could dance. But of course, like, he does it in, like, sign language. And so they, like, put on a record, and Jericho and the old Russian woman just dance while everybody watches?
And it says here, for the better part of an hour, all they do is dance. While the Teen Titans just sit there.
They're trying to solve a mystery. For an hour, they just stand in this woman's apartment and watch him dance with Jericho. Oh, God. For an hour. Not a song. Like, I'd buy a song. An hour? No.
For like an hour? Yeah, I mean... Why are you still dancing? Get out of here! The Beehive. Oh, whatever.
Find Martha.
Find Beyonce.
Save Beyonce.
Now that's a crossover we need.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Now we need a Beyonce Batman crossover in this next movie. Ben Affleck, if you're listening, and I know you are.
Oh, of course he is.
You,
what else would he do with his time?
You're right.
Work?
You're writing that script for the Batman.
Go do all the CrossFit. I don't know. What else is bad?
You pop this in while you're doing your...
Gamble.
While you're doing cross-gambling.
Cross-gambling.
It's where you flip over a tire.
And then you play poker at the same time?
You flip over... That's how you bet. I'm all in. Flips tire.
Yeah. Your tire has to be full of money, and then you have to flip it in. And the way you raise, you hit it with a sledgehammer.
Celebrities are weird, guys. I don't know if you know this, but celebrities lead different lives than we do.
They really do. And if you win, then you have to do like 9 pull-ups with a chain around.
You gotta do burpees with a boat attached. Anyways, so we get a side thing with something to do with. What the fuck is this? Asriel's here?
Yeah, but something.
It's
like,
not
Asriel. It's not, but it is. And there's like a woman like waiting for him to come and whatever. And then that's over. And then we go into Dick's apartment, which apparently is a pigsty, because as we saw before, he's just like, instead of showering in the bathtub, he just stands in the middle of his bathroom and just hopes that water hits him. I don't know. He just turns the nozzle so it's like going like right to the bat. He's like, this works.
I would imagine that there's like it's Bruce just running in up a bunch of stairs doing CrossFit with a bunch of water, just throws it at him and runs back downstairs, gets more water.
Yeah, that's how he bathes. Showers. There's just black mold all over his bathroom.
Oh, he's got
guaranteed.
He's not.
And Corey, who apparently has never been in her boyfriend's apartment, is like, your apartment's gross, Dick. You might.
No, she's been in it before.
No, she says you.
She says, I don't believe your apartment. Don't you ever clean up? And he's like, usually, you know, I'm busy.
Yeah.
Know any gorgeous girls like to come over and Wednesday? Come in Wednesdays for cleaning?
Oh, like, no.
I'm like, shut up. Just
clean your own fucking apartment,
dude. You're such a.
Like, here's the thing. Like, if you want to be like a functional human being, clean your own goddamn apartment. And it doesn't have to be spotless. Fucking clean your shit up, because if you're a dude and your apartment is a goddamn sty and a woman walks in there, all she's thinking about is the fact that if you guys get together, it's going to be her job to clean up after you.
Yeah.
And she's not going to want to do it. So just be a functional human being. Wash your dishes.
Yeah. I can't.
Don't take a shower.
I've yelled at some of my male friends for not washing their dishes.
Yeah, wash your fucking dishes, dude.
If you're a lone man, wash your damn dishes.
I am not asking for like, oh my God, you scrub this for 9 hours every weekend. Like, I'm literally just saying, like, are things put away? Are your dishes clean? Do you do laundry? Are your clothes folded?
Maybe you should vacuum once in a while or sweep.
Vacuum, you sweep. That's it.
It's
passable.
Yeah, don't.
There's no black mold. You clean your bathroom. You clean the toilet.
Yeah, just do proper things.
Just passable. That's all we're asking.
So Garth is here, and Garth is
I don't know what his deal is.
This is why I don't read Titans, because these are idiots.
They're dumb. And like, he's a big snake now, because earlier he was a bird.
Yeah, he's a bird where he flies. He tries to get
Beast
people.
Boy.
He's Beast Boy, and he flies.
And now he's a giant snake, and he's like putting his head in
Cole's lap,
and he's like,
he's just sliding around the apartment, Dick's apartment, which, you know, Dick's just probably like, oh, I saw that snake the other week. Oh, it's Garth.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that wasn't some of the shit, the snakes that I have living in here because I've got so much crap.
So he just kind of flops into her lap, and, you know, he's flirting with her. She's about to drop because she can make crystals, so she's about to drop a crystal on his face.
And he's like, meh.
You know, and they're just kind of, it's just. And then all of a sudden, the girl shows up again.
Yeah, all of them there. They're like, oh my God, it's her. So they chase her out into the hallway, and she goes up the stairs and disappears.
So then they go and talk to the janitor.
Yeah, the janitor who was there.
This is boring.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Now they're going to go to, I mean, they're solving a mystery, which is fine. But they go talk to the janitor who's like, oh man, I've been working here since I was 8 years old. Let me tell you what I remember, and all I remember is I was walking up the stairs and I got hit in the head with a frying pan.
Because so what happens is he saw just as like they went inside, and then the girl ran out.
Yeah, and he got hit in the head with a frying pan.
He got hit in the head with something, and he doesn't remember, so.
So, man, I'm so glad we spent some time with him. He's like, yeah, now there's a nice kid named Grayson who lives there, but he's never there.
You know,
okay. And you're like, all right, well, thanks.
And he says that, funny thing, even though we know nothing would happen, because he says some Grayson kid moves in there now.
Now
some Grayson kid rents it, nice enough, but he's hardly ever in. Oh, well, no wonder his house is
gross.
But
he also says something like, every time somebody rents the apartment, it's fine for 6 months, and then they start seeing a little girl.
They start seeing a ghost.
So, and he's like, any day now, that Grayson kid should see it. And so,
into the Titans, like, ghost?
Yeah.
Whatever. So then
they go to talk to Cyborg's grandparents.
Yeah,
because apparently they're like, oh, this guy who was it? The guy who died, the guy who got murdered.
Yeah,
that Cyborg found. I guess he used to be like in the vaudeville scene. So they're like, oh, I know. Let's go talk to Cyborg's grandparents who like vaudeville or were involved
in
vaudeville.
They should have talked to.
I have no idea.
They should have talked to. They should have talked to Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, I bet he would have known.
Oh, you would have told them everything. Him and Frank. They should have been, on this podcast.
That's actually what happened. Is it wasn't Cyborg's grandparents. They went to go see Gilbert Gottfried.
I want to imagine that they listened to an episode of Gilbert Gottfried's podcast. We're like, this tale of ghosts is now solved.
So then they're like, oh, you know, my grandparents know everybody in New York City because, sure.
Because they're so old.
I guess if you live in a place long enough, you meet all their millions of inhabitants.
Right. And so they're just like, oh, yeah, he disappeared, blah, blah. And, you know, he disappeared from the circuit. He used to have some bimbo with him.
And Dick's like, oh, let me look this up on my computer. And then he's like, I'm going to use your phone and plug my computer into it as a modem. Don't worry, it won't hurt your phone. So he uses the internet.
He uses the internet to connect with Social Security and gets the guy's address.
Yeah, because, sure.
For the guy's address who...
I don't know, maybe there was... I mean, I'm sure there weren't, like, security provisions back then. Nobody assumed you could hack into somebody else's computer.
For this... Who do they go see? Who's this guy? The congressman?
Yeah, they get a... They go see somebody, and...
Oh, they go into somebody's house, and they start looking around it. Yeah, where the fuck do they go?
I don't know.
Rossetti? Okay, no, they try to find Rossetti. He's the one that got killed.
Yeah.
He used to play here. So go into his place and go look around if you want, you people.
And then they do, but it looks like somebody else was already there, and then they find a phone number.
I do want to actually point out here, I like this part where
Cyborg?
So Cyborg's kissing his parents goodbye, his grandparents goodbye, and there's like this drawing where like in the background, because they're all walking out, mm-hmm. and Garth is just looking at him, but he kind of looks like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he does.
He looks kind of weird, but he looks kind of just. I had to take a picture of it. It's just weird.
Yeah,
it's just a weird. It's framing.
So they like find a phone number and they fly on what looks like a spaceship.
Yeah, they have a jet,
but it looks like the spaceship, the space shuttle.
It's Endeavor.
It's Endeavor, and they fly it over to some farm somewhere where there's an old congressman working.
Yeah, they find a New Jersey phone number, and then they find an address, and then they go
to find this guy, and he's like...
Congressman Withers.
And they're like, Congressman, tell us the story. And then so he tells them more people telling them stories. Apparently he was married to this woman, and she was rich and beautiful and whatever, and he was an aspiring politician, so he... You know, hooked up with this chick. It's during Prohibition. He thinks all her money comes from booze, but it also comes from drugs. And then he's like,
oh. Rossetti worked with her.
Yeah. Rossetti worked with her, and he was the husband. And he's like all upset about the drug thing.
Drugs?
Yeah. And she's like, but you're going to be my politician. And then that's when he realized that, like, she only wanted him around to, like, basically, you know, be her political puppet. So then, and this is where I got confused, because I guess they're just sitting in these people's apartment when they come in, because apparently the dad who died was their accountant.
Right.
And he sees the paperwork and he's like,
because because he didn't know anything about these things. And
he didn't know about the illegal dealings.
I have these papers.
Creating a
wanted
set
you
of
to have these papers
books.
Before you were off. He's like, great. And he goes, I mean, if I talk, there's something that's... So he starts questioning stuff.
Yeah, because he's like, wait a second. You're just using me to create a set of legitimate books. And I'm going to go to the cops. And they're like, no, you're not. Yeah, and then she pulls out a gun.
She pulls a gun. She's the mother and the father.
And so
the girl runs out.
This little girl did not become Batman.
No. She runs out.
Or Bayman.
She knocks out the guy.
The guy with the frying pan, the janitor. And then they're like, oh, Congressman. He's like, it'll ruin the rest of my career. But this guy's like 95, so I don't think it matters. But he's going to like testify, I guess. So that happens. And then they go to the old woman, his old ex-wife.
Yeah.
And... They're like, the
so
jig
she
is up,
Donna Amicito.
Yeah.
And I just like that they just barrel. Okay, so like she's in her house, and so she's in her house in Connecticut. Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, this fucking book.
Yeah.
They're like, so Rossetti's been killed. We're not gonna recover on evidence. There's nothing to tie our organization to it. Ew.
Ew.
Cat's knees. And she's like, good, I know what now. I do not know why I ever trusted that singing fool, but he will sing no more. Spooky. So yeah. Then that's when the Titans fucking blow a hole through a wall.
They're like, and we're here. Da 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 da.
It's like, okay, let's smash this old woman's wall.
And they drive, I'm not sure whose legs we're looking through, but when we see this old woman, we're looking through someone's legs. I'm assuming it's Dick's.
Those are Dick's legs, yeah, because that's his boot. that's his incredibly skinny. Like, well, no, it's just the way the frame is. That's
But it's just like, why are we?
Well, yeah, there's some taint.
Why are we looking at, through Dick's legs? Why was this the picture they chose to draw? They were like, put Dick's taint in there, and so they did.
Dick is getting a lot of exposure in this book.
Love to show Dick. Man, he is beefcake supreme.
You see Batch?
Yeah.
You're seeing Backpatch?
Poor Nightwing. He's always been the one who's just like, his ass is everywhere. And
guys, let's be honest. He's been over-sexualized.
He has. He absolutely has. He's
somebody needs to write an essay on this.
I'm sure somebody has. Somebody probably has. I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Anyway, so they're like, they walk in and there's like blue hole in her wall. And they're like, you're going to jail, lady.
Look at my taint.
Look at my taint. I'm like, hey. I'm like, who's this random... broad.
Whatever. And then we go back to Dick's apartment.
So they just run in and tell this woman she's going to jail. And then we just go back to his apartment where they decide to just knock a hole in Dick's wall.
Yeah, where they're like, oh, I think... Because she said, oh, they're right behind the wall or whatever. I guess she confessed. And they knock a hole in Dick's wall and there's skeletons. But there's only two of them.
Whoa.
There's only two skeletons, right?
Yeah, and apparently they determined that they sealed up the bodies of the parents.
Right.
The guys.
So I have a question.
Okay.
So the parents are dead. We've got the bodies of the parents. The little girl, the last week, we never see her die. She ran away.
Right.
The minute this wall is opened, she runs back in and says, oh my God, we can be together now.
And then the ghosts all come together.
And the ghosts hug and they disappear. But did this little girl actually get killed?
Well, I'm assuming
she's in the wall, and maybe she's just too short, and you can't see her.
They're like, "Oh, I see another one." She's at the bottom here,
just right at the very bottom.
I see a little girl.
Yep, there she is.
Dick, you had like three people in your wall, and you didn't even know it.
Nobody did. I'm like,
you're supposed to be the world's greatest detective, and you didn't even know you had three bodies in your wall.
I mean, in fairness, those are skeletons, so you're kind of like, "Eh, all right."
Still,
but. Why didn't anybody else smell them?
Do you think Dick stayed in that apartment afterward?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think he closed the wall?
No,
on you? Do you think he just put a big picture of Bruce over it?
No, I don't even.
Of Brucey Wayne.
Yeah, of Brucey Wayne. I don't even think he did that. He was just like, meh, it's fine.
Corey is not happy. Corey's like
Corey, you want to come over and clean?
Clean quotation marks, and she comes over and she's like, could you get this fucking hole in your wall?
Yeah, call a contractor.
Call to do something. You know guys with money.
Yeah.
You literally. I'm not talking to Brucey.
Yeah, okay.
Not talking to Brucey.
Get a payment plan. Fucking fix the hole in your wall.
Ask him for a low look.
I don't care. If you can't afford it, go at least buy a piece of plywood.
You need to remove the bodies.
Yeah. It's just skeletons.
There's like an arm here.
He just puts a hat on one of them.
Yeah, they're friends now.
He's like, that's where I put my costume. Guy's wearing a mask.
He's just hanging the costume on these skeletons.
It's just like his boots are like on top of one of them. And he's like, that's just where I keep my shit.
I renamed them. That's Jason Todd.
And this is Tim Drake.
I don't know who those people are.
This very short one is Damien. He doesn't exist yet. But everyone will hate him when he does.
Dick Grayson Necromancer. There we go.
There you go. That's
Bayman and Dick Grayson Necromancer coming soon from DC Comics. I think I would. If you told me that's coming out, I'd be like, yeah, I'm on board. I think I'm on board.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. That's how this ends.
Yep. Jesus Christ. Aren't we glad? No more ghosties.
No more ghosts. Jesus. Yeah, this was not scary at all.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it had a ghost in it.
I guess. It says ghost sort story. Of.
Kind of. I mean, we were. I saw this and I was like, oh man, Halloween. So, you know.
We have an actual DC Halloween special.
I know, but it's long.
It's long and it's not very good.
No.
There's a lot. There's some of those things are just like, hey, let's try to put together.
It'd be like if we read it, we would just have to dedicate the entire episode to that issue.
Which we will do in some cases.
Which is fine.
But I am not going to waste my time reading that.
No.
And I wasted my time reading this.
Yeah.
So to answer our question that we ask all the time, would you read the next issue of this? Probably not, because goddamn it, the Teen Titans are just boring as fuck to me sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Teen
And I'm
Titans.
Sorry I'm swearing so much, but I feel that I need to get that out.
Yeah. Nope.
I always feel like I'm never... Like, I always feel... It feels like it's never... Anytime I read anything with the Titans stuff, I always feel like it's never... Like, it doesn't fit in with the rest of the DC comics. It just... Yeah. I mean, even though it does, it just never feels like it's supposed... It just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
I mean, not that there's anything, like, you know, inherently wrong with it. You know, it's just, I just don't like it. Just doesn't, you know, it's kind of like reading, like, Spider-Man. Like, which, you know, some Spider-Man I could tolerate, but most Spider-Man, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I'm with you.
So you wouldn't read the next issue either?
No.
Even, actually, it was Crisis, I mean, next issue, so.
Oh, yeah, so
or Legends or some, whatever shit.
All this gets rewritten.
Yeah.
I mean, how much taint is in the next issue, I guess, would be my question.
Excuse me, comic book store clerk. How much taint is this book?
I mean,
really,
I need, like, a percentage on the cover with, like, now with 50% more taint or whatever.
In first appearance, taint. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that's it for Tales of the Teen Titans, number 71 from November 1986. We'll be back with our next book.
Hey guys, it's Adam Ray
and Josh Wolf, and we have a new podcast on the Sideshow Network called Good Call. It's a sports show for the casual fan. We aren't talking stats, no spreadsheets or in-depth analysis, nothing like that.
Yeah, it's just fan opinions that will make you laugh and think. So if you want to listen to it, download, rate, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or check us out on the sideshownetwork.tv/goodcall or anywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm not sure how much thinking is being done.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network. Going to talk about our next book. We're ironically doing Spider-Man.
Yep.
Talking about Peter Porker himself.
Well, it's a team up.
Well, okay. So Marvel team up number 93 from May 1980. Hey, this is when I was born.
Oh, shit.
This is a very special... This book is as old as I am.
Yes, it is.
As old as me is 36 years old.
Yep.
Ah!
Reading a 36-year-old comic book.
That's a thing we do on this show.
I know.
We read 36-year-olds. I can't believe that this is a 36-year-old comic.
I know. It looks pretty good for 36.
Like, that's a thing. When you go to comic book stores and you look through back issue bins, mm-hmm. you can find issues that are 36 years old. You can find issues that are older than that, but this is just 36 years old, and it's just a fucking Marvel team-up.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Anyways. So, Marvel team-up, number 93 from May 1980. We got Spider-Man and Werewolf. Werewolf by Night, Jack Russell, teaming up.
Yes.
No villain is more vile than Tatterdemalion.
Uh-huh.
And on the cover, we got Spider-Man and Werewolf in being throttled in each hand by the Tatterdemalion.
Yeah.
Tatterdemalion, basically, what does he look like? To you.
A hobo?
Oh, so, well, okay, here...
Hobo pirate? A pirate hobo?
He doesn't have an eye patch.
No, but he's got a weird hat, and I feel like if he could wear, like, Three Musketeer boots, he would.
You know what he looks like? He looks like he looks like a hobo scarecrow.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like a hobo scarecrow. He has a scar... So basically, He's actually a part of a larger hobo army of super-powered hobos.
Cool.
That's kind of how he started. Mm-hmm. Like, we started out as, like, an actor who was very good at tap dancing.
Okay.
He's very good at, like, theater and, like, vaudeville and stuff, which, you know, apparently he hung out with what's-his-face's parents.
Yeah.
Grandparents. Cyborg's grandparents.
I hope so.
You know. But he... shit went bad for him, and he got crazy, and then he got subjected to a bunch of, like, projects and stuff like that, experiments, and now he has, like, this, he has powers to, what exactly is his power? Like, he can...
Besides stench?
He has a stench, like, he has a very stinky clothes.
Can he, like, control that scarf?
He has a weighted scarf.
Yeah, like, but it kind of like moves on its own.
Right, but it's a weighted scarf, so you can kind of manipulate it. That's the thing. Like,
okay.
Multiple times people are getting knocked out with scarves.
Yeah. That's the thing that happens.
Which is ridiculous.
Yes.
But he's got some sort of... I just read it yesterday, but I don't quite understand. Like, he's got some sort of like transmutative properties he can do where basically...
Oh, yeah, he can like touch you and like burn you.
He can burn
something?
Your clothes or materials, but he can't burn people. And he's kind of like a half a Robin Hood kind of guy where his purpose is to burn, like destroy material goods.
Yes.
And like money and stuff like that, because since he's poor, everybody else should be poor.
Right. And it's kind of like his plan really doesn't work.
No.
Because instead of being a Robin Hood-like character where he steals from the rich and he gives to the poor, he's just like, oh, I'm just going to burn it all down.
That is his plan. He's not
I know,
plan.
But that's a stupid plan.
He doesn't want to give anybody else money.
Why not?
He's a jerk.
But that's a stupid idea.
Well,
all right.
This is what we're dealing with.
All right.
So the story is called Rags to Riches. And we got Peter Parker in L.A.,
yeah, and he's like some sort of like jazz club or whatever.
Yeah, he's in one of the L.A. jazz clubs.
And he's like sitting at a table and he looks over and he's like, oh man, a couple tables over is the werewolf. I bet he doesn't know that he's sitting here with Spider-Man.
Bet he doesn't know I'm me. Ha ha. That guy is him. Ha ha ha. Whatever.
So he flashes back to like the last time he fought with the werewolf and how Spider-Woman showed up and... Basically, nobody cares.
Yeah, whatever, Peter Parker. So we got now. We got Jack is there with this guy,
friend
Buck.
No,
I think Buck's like who was Buck?
I just like friend.
Buck's yeah, Buck's got some thing going on, and so Buck and him are talking about how I guess the enforcer, not Arne Anderson, but the enforcer, the deceased Charles Zelazny, who owns. Movie studio. He's a movie studio exec who also has like this suit, and he's basically a. Are you sleeping?
No, I'm just falling. I'm getting really tired. I'm sorry. So we should probably get through this. I'm sorry. I didn't get a lot of sleep this week.
So Charles Zelazny is. You know, he's got this. He's got this like this outfit where he's basically like. RoboCop-ish.
Is,
I don't know.
Is. The werewolf, he's a journalist, right? Because they're, like, talking about, oh, like, you know, maybe I should do a story about this jazz club, man. That's a story.
Hipcat jazz.
And then as they're talking about it, him and his buddy, all of a sudden, Tattered Demalion shows up. Because somebody's like,
well,
what's that smell? Like, somebody just farted, and it's Tattered Demalion. Because apparently he's so poor he doesn't keep himself clean.
No,
like that's gross.
Well, I just wanted to point out this part where this guy took Buck. So Jack takes Buck to the jazz club. He's like, look, I just wanted to take you here because the enforcer, he's like, you know, you got like trying to take your mind off of stuff, and like he's like, how could I do that? And he's like, well, the enforcer didn't mean to shoot you.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He didn't really mean to shoot you, but he did.
Yeah, sorry about that.
He wasn't trying to kill you though. And he's like, that bullet drugged me.
Yes.
You know, and then we got you better. He's like, yeah, but I still don't feel good about it.
So, like, how long ago did he get shot?
I don't know. I think it was, like, yesterday.
No, so shouldn't he, like, be taking it easy instead of, like, hanging out?
Oh, no, he should not be out. He should just be like, bro, can I just, like, chill
He's
for
like,
a little
I'm
while?
I'm just gonna, like, stay home and check some Netflix out because I just got fucking shot.
The 70s version of Netflix gonna watch
I'm
some,
not sure what the 70s version of Netflix was.
That's looking at People Magazine real fast.
It's flip books.
Flip books.
Just a flip books of your favorite movies. And it's just a subscription that brings them to your door.
Yeah, well, that's
you magazine. Order them, and then 6 weeks later, somebody delivers it to you.
It's a Netflix of magazines, but in the '70s. Yeah. Anyway, so all of a sudden, you know, Jack starts smelling something, and he's like, "Ew!" And then he's like, and then it's funny because they're like, he thinks that Peter Parker's just sitting there, and he's like. Thinking that Peter he smells him, he's like, oh, he must smell me. Yeah, I must smell. Wait, he's not talking about me, and it turns out, yeah, it's Tatterdemalion, and he reeks like ass.
Why would Spider-Man think that he smells?
Because he thinks that he...
Did he just fart?
Yes.
Is that what just happened? Spider-Man just had a silent but deadly fart?
He had a bowl ringer that came out of the thing. He's like, man, I had some of the... Had some chili con carne from that taco truck.
It must have been that bean I ate. It
must have been that bean I ate. The Spider-Man story. So he, Spider-Man farts. Tatterdemalion shows up, and
my fart conjured this man.
My fart conjured, yeah. And well, because I know why is because Spider-Man because him and Jack Russell have met before,
right?
And he assumes.
Oh, he thinks he has just a really
he assumes that the werewolf can figure out what. Peter Parker smells like and figure out Spider-Man or whatever.
Yeah.
So this, you know, Tatterdemalion shows up and he's like, ah, fuck everything. And he starts punching people and he starts ripping, burning clothes and burning money, you know, and he's burning purses and, and so the whole time, you know, Jack and,
Peter doing that typical thing where
they're doing
like,
that thing where they just keep
how am I gonna change here? People will see me.
Yeah, and so Tatterdemalion knows who Jack Russell is, and you know they start having a discussion, and Peter Parker tries to intertwine, and
he gets hit, and then the lights go out, And when the lights go out, they're like, oh, man, let's take advantage of this to become our superheroes. But then on stage, we just have a random panel where apparently the jazz singers were Mouse and Cat?
This is actually ties in with another book we've read.
Oh, I remember these two.
Well, Mouse and Cat, who are a part of the Shrouds team.
That's right.
That's where they're from.
That's the Shroud. Because
that's the Shroud in their backwear.
I get that. Okay.
And they're all like, for the cover of Darkness, we need to do something. And he's like,
they got it.
And so they're like, well, we're not going to deal with this. So, anyways.
We're not going to help out.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? Let's leave.
The Shroud's like, you know what? Tatterdemalion's outfit's way too close to mine. I don't want to get hit.
Yeah.
So let's get out. So they leave, and like Spider-Man and Werewolf become Spider-Man and Werewolf. And when the lights come back on, they're fighting, and then there's this woman in like a purple getup with like a veil on her face, and she's like, Spider-Man.
She's like, ooh, he's into darkness. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, and then she just leaves. And then, of course, Spider-Man and Werewolf are fighting, and then they decide to like team up.
Yeah, team it up.
Because that's what we do.
The Spider-Man team up. You know, and then we got punch fight, throw in. Spider-Man just can't take that. Apparently, Tatterdemalion must smell just like the worst.
Yeah, because
like,
apparently he took off his hat and he shoved it in Spider-Man's face, and he was like, "Oh shit!" Like apparently he was the worst.
Because because he's got his clothes are filled with chloroform.
Oh,
that's why. Because Spider-Man, he puts a hat in his face. He's like, "Chloroform, fuck off!" You know, and
chloroform.
And this is where his weighted scarf punches the werewolf out.
Yes.
I don't know how he controls it.
I don't either, because he doesn't actually like throw it or anything. It just sort of like magically shoots out from his neck.
Yeah.
And so then he picks up Werewolf and he runs off, and Spider-Man's like, I'm so groggy, oh my god. And so he like runs out into the alleyway, and he sees that like a manhole covers a jar, and he's like, he must have gone this way. And so he just drops down there.
She goes in a random manhole, and then that woman is watching him again, and who gives a shit?
No.
So then now we got Werewolf, and he's being hung from the ceiling. Yeah. It looks like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon.
Yep.
Getting that sort of treatment, and he's talking how it's like, dude, you used to be poor, and now you're not. And he's like, I got my shit together. And he's like, tattered in a million. He's like, that sucks ass.
Yes. Keep being poor like me.
Why can't you keep being poor and shitty like me? Now we have to kick your ass.
Yeah.
You used to be the man. Are you the man? Are you a piece of shit motherfucker?
Did the Iron Sheik just come here? The
Iron Sheik.
Is he guesting on our podcast? The Iron Sheik, everybody.
Jack Russell, you asked me excellent, excellent question. Spider-Man, you will be Brian Blair. I will make you humble. Break your back.
Are you all right? You having fun?
No, I'm
okay.
Not.
I don't know.
It's the Halloween treat.
Did you just like become possessed by Iron Sheik? Is that
spooky,
what's going on? It's so scary.
I was possessed by a ghost, but Iron Sheik, the living Iron Sheik.
He's just sleeping.
His spirit goes across and just finds random people doing podcasts to possess them and recite lines from his shoot videos.
Yeah. I think that's actually correct.
Unsolved Mysteries needs to get on this.
Yeah.
We need to get to bring it back.
It's going to be like astral projection.
We need that to be like, I wish Robert Stack was still around and be like, he never interviewed anybody on that show.
No. He just.
Sean claims he was possessed by the Iron Sheik while doing a podcast. Or whatever.
So Spider-Man is in the sewer and all of a sudden he gets hit in the head, or he almost gets hit in the head by the scarf because his Spidey sensitive to him, and he's like, oh shit, it's you, I'll fix you, I'm gonna punch you, Tatterdemalion. So he punches him right in the crotch.
He punches him in the crotch and Tatterdemalion just laughs at him.
He laughs at him because what happens when Spider-Man, I don't know why Spider-Man has anything in his hand to begin with.
Well, that's what I don't know.
He pulls his hand away and he's just holding rags.
That means it's like, so was he punching the grab dick?
I don't get, because if it's just
Spider-Man grabbing the balls. Whenever he can.
He open punches, dicks when he can, grabs those dicks, pulls them off. Like, is that his song? Because, yeah. If you're just punching somebody with a closed fist, why are you coming away with a handful of anything? But he does. He has a handful of dick.
Because apparently Tatterdemalion has, 30 jackets on.
He also has a hand, dick rags.
He has a bunch of moldy dick rags.
And he's like, ew, moldy dick rags. And so he, throws them, and then they fight, and Tatterdemalion's like, I'm well healed, because he's wearing a pair of 4-inch heels.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
He kicks Spider-Man in the face.
Those are some mighty heels.
They're really high. Then he runs away up a ladder.
Yeah, that looks impractical.
Yeah, it does.
Spider-Man slaps him in the face and he runs away.
Yeah, so he runs away.
Oh, what the fuck is
going on? Oh, he throws his cape.
This
Spider-Man's
fight goes on for 3 years.
It really does. Spider-Man's trying to follow him, but Tatterdemalion's like, here's my gross cape. And Spider-Man's oh, it smells. Oh, gross.
So
be worse than a fucking fistful of dick rags.
The dick rags he was okay with.
Yeah, but the stinky cape.
He's like, ew, Fromunda cheese.
Ew.
Dick cheese.
Dick cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, so, there's soup.
Okay. Well, what happens is so Tatterdemalion being the
hobo
villain that he is.
Yeah.
Is based in a halfway house.
Uh-huh.
He's living in a halfway house and he's got his hobo army.
Yeah.
This derelicts or whatever. And Spider-Man comes up and he's like, hey, I'm in a halfway house. I'm not gonna fight a bunch of derelicts. And then one of them's just like, too bad, superhero, we'll fight you. And he throws, and whoever this guy is, looks like Blockbuster from Mark Desmond, throws soup at him. He throws a pot of boiling soup at him. which I took a picture of and I said, this is what happens when you pronounce pho wrong in LA.
That's true.
Because it is, and I'm pronouncing it wrong right there.
Oh my
too.
God, there's 18, because you can call it pho.
You can't call it pho. No, pho's
so I've heard people call it pho. It's
people
wrong.
That don't know, people that read the word for the first time call it pho.
Right. Pho, but it's called pho, but other people call it pho.
It's pho.
It's pho.
I don't like saying pho.
I don't either. That's why I call it pho.
Because this sounds like you're just like pho.
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 I call it pho.
I love pho.
I want to call it pho. I'm calling it pho. Pho. Fuck off.
Ah, pho. Yeah. And I mean, not all people who...
Nobody's being harmed by me saying that, by the way.
That's true. But nobody... this particular halfway house, I'm sure there are plenty of halfway houses that have very, you know, good people who are trying to get back on their feet. This particular one just happens to house a hobo army.
It was a villain one.
And so...
It was the soup villains.
It's the soup villains. So it's
Jambalaya Jim.
For some reason, Tatterdemalion is stupid and he stands way too close to Werewolf, who's still hung up, and Werewolf like kicks him.
Kicks him, yeah.
And then he's like, while you weren't here watching me, I got myself free of these.
Because you have a bunch of hobos making soup in the background.
Yeah, no one's
like,
fucking paying attention to me, so I got myself out of these ropes.
I'm a fucking werewolf, look at me.
And Spider-Man's like,
these idiots are making soup.
Yeah, you should have been paying attention to me with my claws. So, but Spider-Man, like, webs Tatterdemalion, but because he's so greasy, it just, like, slides off
of him.
Is he
the greasy strangler?
Yes, he's the greasy strangler.
Is Tatterdemalion the greasy strangler?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He is the greasy strangler. That's where that movie got its start.
Yeah.
And he's like, I win. So now they're just fighting each other. Tatterdemalion throws
Spider-Man
werewolf.
Hits him with his ass.
Yeah. Well, first Tatterdemalion throws werewolf into Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man tries to web him, and he's like, you know that won't work. He's like, that's just so I can hit you with my ass in the face.
Tatterdemalion apparently also got enhanced, so that's also why he's able to hold up a fight.
Sure.
Because, you know, because there's a lot of speak of him being like, Spider-Man's like, you know, like, oh, he's really strong for some reason. You know, it's, so apparently he's been taking roids.
Yeah.
He's been doing juice. It's like a roid soup.
Yeah.
That's what those guys are making.
Oh, yeah. Making delicious roid soup.
Roid soup.
So they're fighting. He's going to throw a hat, and Spider-Man webs the hat.
Why is he going to throw the hat? Was he Kung Lao?
I guess. And so he's going to just throw the hat.
Oh, you know, here's actually a thing. This is a funny thing, too, because Werewolf keeps thinking, he's like, I'm trying to grab him, but I can't grab him because he stinks so bad.
Yeah, because, you know, he's a stinky guy. So... Werewolf like rips the scarf off of his face. He's like, "Don't look at my hideous face."
Well, it's funny the way that he grabs it because he's
looks
just kinda...
like he grabs it with his teeth.
Well, he does. Like,
if that guy smells that badly, what do you do with grabbing anything with your mouth?
Well, he kind of grabs it like he grabs a small piece of it and he just kind of pulls it, so it's just kind of like in between, like very. It's not just like har.
No, it's just
like just kind of hum.
Like. Like he was taking down some dude's zipper with his teeth. That's like basically what that looks like.
Whoa.
That's what it looks like.
Okay. is that a thing that happens in the fanfics?
Well, it's a thing that happens in like porno movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. This has got.
I'm telling you. That's because why would you want to do that? You would taste it.
Mm-hmm.
So why isn't he grabbing it? But he's just like, eh. Tiny bite. Pulled down. Yeah. And so then Spider-Man's like, you're ugly. Punch you in the face.
He's ugly and he punches him in the face.
And
so apparently... Yeah,
apparently he's down.
Knocks his ass up. Yeah, because apparently everything else is padded except for his ugly face.
Yeah.
So he knocks him out and then that woman's still hanging out.
Yeah. Oh, we should talk about this.
Oh, you want to talk about that? Okay, yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. Yeah, so he chases after...
He's like, oh my god, it's that woman. Did you see that woman? And Werewolf is like, what woman, man? You need your vision checked. And he's like, no, she's right here. So he like goes out of the halfway house, and he follows this woman into this other house, and then she takes off her purple stuff, and she just looks like she's surrounded by like velvet ropes. Like, she just wrapped them around her body.
Yeah.
Because her name is...
Dancing Macabre.
Sure. So that's the end of
so
that
she's a, and she's a character that's around. She heads up, like, the Night Shift, which is, like, a group of, like, spooky villains.
Ooh, spooky.
Spooky villains.
Spooky.
You know, there's a guy with a needle. There's the Brothers Grimm. There's Digger, who's a zombie
Digger.
Man.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a bunch of winners in there.
Yeah,
there's a hangman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bunch of... Tatterdemalion hangs out in there, too.
Yeah.
Bunch of losers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it for... that's it for this Spider-Man Marvel team-up.
Yes.
Number 93 from May 1980.
First, we have to talk about this, though.
Okay.
So there is a Hostess ad. It is Thor meets the Ricochet Monster.
Yeah.
And I love this for one reason. So Thor is fighting this giant blue monster, and he throws his hammer at him, and it just bounces off of him, and it hits Thor right in the face. And Thor's like, oh, what the fuck? Now I have to, like put some sort of spell on him or something? No, he doesn't do that. What does he say? What I hurl at thee, thou returnest.
When I hurl at thee, thou returnest. If we proceed in this fashion, we gain naught but a checkmate. So basically, he's like,
oh, so this isn't going to work. I can't throw my hammer.
Therefore, I will hurl something at thee thou wilt absorb and keep unto thyself.
So he throws, like, a dozen Hostess fruit pies at this monster.
Yeah.
And the monster's just like, oh, nom, nom, nom.
The monster's in the... He's like, so thy evil masters, the do nothing of the goodness, blah, blah, blah.
And then he sends the monster back from where he came, the end.
Does he just throw him into space?
I think so.
That sucks.
I mean, at least he gave him a fruit pie. At least he, like, fed him before he tossed him into the void of space.
That needs to happen in Infinity War or whatever they're doing. Where
Ragnarok or whatever.
Ragnarok, where Thor's like, here, have a pie. Throw.
Have this delicious fruit pie. Then he just throws him into space where he
just once. Just
die.
Once, I want to see a new superhero movie where somebody's like, I got a pie. I got a Twinkie. Will you stop hitting me?
I would love to see just a quick shout out to like a Hostess.
Wish that would be like a Lego thing. I mean, come on.
Something.
They make Twinkies again.
Yeah.
Fucking let's do
they
it.
Still exist. Somebody throw a cupcake at a villain.
Yes.
Just for old time's sake.
Just do it. Just try it. Just try
once.
It. Just try it.
Just once. That's all I'm asking.
Just try it.
So.
Anyway, so would you read the next issue of this Marvel team-ups?
No, I kind of like the Marvel team-ups.
Oh, I do,
too.
It
depends on who the characters are.
Yeah, I usually get them by character. I don't buy every one of them because, like, I'm not going to buy it. Like, I'll read it if I have it, yeah. But, like, I'm not going to read, you know, Spider-Man and the Human Torch. I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. No, I was like, Werewolf. Yay, Werewolf.
Yeah, Werewolf. That worked out. You know, we've had, of course, Wonder Man. We've done, you know, I'm all into cosmic ones, so him and Warlock, him and Moondragon.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel. I mean, he's got all sorts of friends. He's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I guess that's it for this week's show. Want to wish everybody happy Halloween.
Yay, Halloween.
It's be a very good good time. We're going to go to Kamikaze.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. LA Comic-Con.
Whatever.
They renamed
whatever.
It like a week ago or something.
I know. They had this announcement.
They were like, oh, man, Kamikaze, it's coming. You know what? We're going to wheel Stan Lee out here and make him stand for 9 years.
Speaking of spooky.
Yeah, we're just going to wheel him out, make him announce that he's changed the name, and then we're going to go put him back in his closet. So now it's Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic-Con, which, okay. Kamikaze was shorter.
Yeah, exactly. Now I got to remember this whole thing. Like, I mean, first of all, I'm not going to call it Stan Lee. I'm going to call it LA Comic-Con if I call it anything.
Yeah, and it was so much easier to say Kamikaze.
Kamikaze. That's it.
Because it was supposed to be a pop culture fest. It wasn't just comic books. It was more like, you know, comic, pop culture, nerd culture type of thing.
Yeah.
And now it's LA Comic-Con, and I wonder if they did that because there's all that talk going on if, you know, San Francisco Comic-Con is one day going to come up here, and, you know, because WonderCon got moved up here, I feel like, as just like a test to see what would happen.
Yeah, I don't think it did so well.
Yeah, so...
I don't think they were as happy with it.
Yeah.
Moving it up here.
Yeah.
It was nice for us.
It was great for us. We didn't have to buy a hotel room. It was kind of nice.
Yeah. I don't need to go. Yeah.
I mean, but the thing is though, that Anaheim's really, really nice. And the Anaheim Convention Center for where WonderCon usually is just great.
Yeah.
And it's
good,
huge.
It's a good place to be.
And LA, you know, the LA Convention Center's not bad, but it's nowhere near as nice as the Anaheim one.
Yeah. But it's good for, you know, but at least if they could just, this is in the past few years, they've done it where it's like the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, the first year that we went.
Well, the first year we went because it
was the first year.
The first year, and it was like one day. Was it one day?
No, I think it was the weekend, but it was that was the first day of Kamikaze, and they only used like a fourth of the floor or something stupid.
Yeah.
Because there was also like a giant church service on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, there was Channel 4.
Yeah, that it was no that, and it sucked, and it was just really hard to get anywhere, and it was the first time I'd ever been to a con, and I was like, I hate this.
No, I
didn't like it because there was too many people, and everything was so narrowly packed together.
My poor wife.
But then when we went to WonderCon, it was much better because there was a little bit more room.
Yeah. But the Kamikaze, we're going there this coming weekend, and yeah. We'll see what we buy. My brother will be in town.
He will.
We're going to have some fun.
We're dragging him to a Comic Con.
We're going to drag him to a Comic Con. Maybe we'll have a surprise next week for you.
Oh, man. We'll see what we can find.
Oh, man.
Not that we need to buy more shit.
Oh, we do.
No, do we need more shit?
We need more. I need to get stuff that I need to collect.
Do we need more shit? No, we don't.
If I could buy some cheap-ass trades. You know,
cheap-ass trades.
That's how I live.
Living your life.
Living my life.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but have a really great Halloween. I hope you all dress up as something cool. I think I've talked Sean out of his Depeche Mode idea.
We've talked about that. We didn't talk about it on the show.
Oh, yeah.
But we talked about it. I talked about it on social media where I was like, I think I should dress up as Dave Gahan from the Enjoy the Silence video.
Which I'm fine with.
Which you're fine with. But now my idea was that I would walk around with a crown and a cape and dress like a king. But I'd also walk around with a chair while playing Enjoy the Silence on an iPod.
And I really think the chair's a bad idea. I think everything but the chair works, because you've got to walk around an entire
I understand that, but I feel like it does not work if it doesn't have the chair.
I feel like it could be a metaphorical chair.
I don't buy it.
Okay.
Because
here's the thing. I don't want to have to listen to you for the entire day.
Well, then I won't do it then.
And you're like, why am I carrying this chair?
I know. I don't want to just walk around as a king. That looks stupid. Hey, where are you supposed to be? Oh, I was supposed to be Dave Gahan. I'm like, whatever. Loser.
Well, we'll figure something out.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at AngryHeroSean, S-H-A-W-N.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
And, of course, SideshowNetwork.tv. You can check all of our shows there. And please go on iTunes and rate and subscribe. Give us 5 stars. It helps us. It makes us visible. And it helps the show reach its goals of telling you about lousy comics every week.
Yay. So,
thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
Happy Halloween!
Hi, I'm Andrew Steven, and you probably don't know me. But I host a show about comedy, the internet, and television. It uses NBC's new streaming comedy channel, CISO, as a jumping-off point to tell stories like Looking for Bill Murray.
The path eventually led to Bill's youngest brother, Joel. Someone knew Joel.
That's me. I've always been a boxer's guy, and Billy. My brother Ed, who's the oldest. My brother Brian.
Prank calling Steve Martin.
But the best thing that we would ever do is we had a 2-line phone system in our house. So we would dial one number, like we would dial Steve Martin, then we'd dial Martin Short, and then we'd conference call and take ourselves out of it, and they would both be like,
oh, what's up, Steve? What's up, Martin?
Plus, the UCB's Matt Besser sings,
cannabis oils, butter, wax, and shatter.
Kulop Vlasak talks about how she created bajillion-dollar properties.
It was going to be 2 female real estate brokers, and we were going to call it 2 broker girls.
And Dan Harmon teaches me how to write a story.
Like, with only a couple of lies, you can make a hero out of a villain.
So if you like comedy, you watch CISO, or you just like interesting stories, be sure to subscribe to the CISO C Show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts.